Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra Daf Samech Vav. We will begin on Daf Samech Hei Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, the Gemara taught us a halacha that we know, and we will discuss it more extensively in our today's shir, that if a mikveh is made out of mayim shuvim or different situations with a mayim shuvim and a mikveh, the halacha is that that mikveh is disqualified. Our Gemara taught us a brisa in our previous shir that if the pipe through which the water goes into the mikveh, which could potentially make the water mayim shuvim, was there, the pipe was fashioned into a pipe and then attached to the ground, any water that flows through that pipe will be mayim shuvim. But if it was just put into the ground, and after it was put into the ground, then it was formed into a pipe, and water flows through that pipe, then the halacha is that that will not be considered mayim shuvim. Then the Gemara asked, who is the Tana, who is the author of this brisa? Because the Gemara suggests that it's not consistent, neither with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and not the opinion of the Rabbanim. And the Gemara attempted to find a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan, where we would think that these two questions that we're discussing are connected, and see that this brisa isn't consistent with either. The first suggestion the Gemara showed, was actually not a good proof. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, that when we speak about Rabbi Eliezer, it's regarding Rabbi Eliezer's opinion regarding a kaveris devarim. Kaveris devarim is a beehive. The Tanan, the Mishnah in Shviyas, Perik Yod, Mishnah Zayin, the Mishnah in Uksim, Perik Gimel, Mishnah Yod, teaches us about a kaveris devarim, a beehive that's connected to the ground. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Harei Kekarka, that this beehive halachically has the status of ground. And the halach is the Kaisman La Prusbel. And we could write a Prusbel. We know that the halach is that when the Shemitah year comes, it cancels all loans. And what Hill saw was that people were not lending money because they were worried that the Shemitah is coming and people won't be able to collect their money. So Hillel said that he instituted something called a Prusbel. And the Prusbel essentially means that the person is giving over the loan to Beis Din. And the halacha is that Moisesh the Rosh of Beis Din, if somebody gives over his document to Beis Din, the halacha is that that loan is not canceled in Shemitah year. Tosfos, of course, asked the question, if the halacha of Prusbel is based on this halacha, that Amosish Teroyos of Beis Din, the halacha is that Shemitah doesn't cancel such a loan, so what was unique and what was special about what Hillel instituted? So some Rishonim say that the uniqueness of what Hillel instituted was that normally, to be considered Moisesh Derois of Beis Din, you have to actually give the loan documents to Beis Din. What Hillel instituted was that just saying I'm giving you these loan documents is sufficient. Others suggest that Mesiris Tosfos' suggestion is that Prusbel is not the same as Mesiris Derois of Beis Din. For that, we wouldn't have to have it. What is the word Prusbel mean? So Rashbam says it means revach, it means profit. And what it means is that Beis Din, that the person who lent the money is now in a better position, that his loan will not be canceled. But the halacha is that a Prusbel is only effective if it was written for a loiva that has property. Rashi in Masechet Gittin explains that why is it necessary for the loiva to have property for the Prusbel to be useful? The Prusbel is a rule that Hillel instituted, it should make a difference if the loiver has property or not. He's giving the loan to Beis Din. So Rashi explains that under normal circumstances, people are reluctant to lend money to somebody who doesn't have karka, somebody who doesn't have real estate from where to collect the loan. And since people are reluctant to lend money under those circumstances, Hillel only wanted to institute a prosbul in a situation which is common, that people will have lent money, and that's when there is karka. Others explain that we discuss often in our shiurim that when the loiva has property, the malva has recourse from where to collect what's owed to him. So therefore, since the malva has recourse from where to collect what's owed to him, the halacha already views it as if it was collected. It wasn't really collected, but the halacha views it as it was collected, and therefore the instituting of prosbul doesn't represent such a big chiddush. So our Gemara is teaching us that somebody who owns a kaveris dvarim, the halacha is, it's considered like karka. And the Rishonim explain that since it's connected to the ground, it's considered like karka. And many Rishonim ask, then what's the chiddush? If we have something which is connected to the ground, why should not be considered like karka, that we need a special chiddush that Rabbi Elazar says that arayu karka? So the Rosh says that this kaveris, even though we're saying it's considered as if it's connected to the ground, the kaveris we're speaking about here is a kaveris that was not put into a property without permission of the property owner. And therefore, since I did not have permission to put there, it's a chiddush that it's still considered kikarka. Another explanation that Ritva suggests is that we're speaking about a situation where somebody has a right to put down the kaveris, but the time that I was given permission to put the kaveris in this property is over before the Shemitah is over. So we would think that since the time that it can be connected to the ground isn't that long, so that's the chiddush over here, that it's still considered karka. Along the same line, I saw the Pnei Shleima explains that the kaveris in this case is not on property that I own, that the loiva owns. And since it's not on property that the loiva owns, we would think that when is a prosbul considered effective? Only when it's on property, only when the loiva has property. But if this kaveris is on property that the loiva doesn't own, it's only property that he has a right to put something on, therefore we would think it's not considered a good situation for prosbul. She teaches us, Rabbi Elazar, that it is. Next halacha is enem kabelas tuma mekoymai. As long as it's connected to the ground, it has the halacha like it's on the ground. And the halacha is that karka is never mekabel tuma. So therefore, since this is connected to the ground, therefore it's considered like karka and it's not mekabel tuma. And the another halacha is haroi d'mimenu mishabes. If somebody removes the honey from the beehive on Shabbos, chayef chatas. It's considered as if you disconnected something that's on the ground. And since it's considered as if it's something that's connected to the ground, therefore the halacha is that since it's considered connected to the ground, if you remove it, then the halacha is that it's considered that you moved something which is on the ground. And as the Tiferes Yisrael explains, certainly if we're saying that taking the honey out of the beehive is considered as if you're disconnecting something from where it's growing, certainly if you take off the beehive from the ground, there will be reason to say that it's considered like you disconnected something from the ground. However, I saw that there are those that disagree. because the kaveris, the honey that's in the beehive, the honey is connected to the walls of the beehive. However, the beehive is not connected to the ground. It's on the ground, but it's not connected to the ground. It's not supposed to be there all the time. And therefore, even though taking the honey out of the beehive will be considered a Nisa Shabbos, taking the beehive off the ground will not be Chol Shabbos. Chachamim, says the Gemara, disagree. Chachamim hold Enika Karka. The Kaveris is not considered like Karka. En Kaisim Ola Prosbol. And therefore, it's not considered like property that if somebody, that you could write a Prosbol for it. And therefore, it's Mekabelis Toma. It's not like Karka, which is not Mekabel Toma. And Haroidim Menah B'Shabbos, if somebody removes something from the Kaveris, it's not considered as if you removed something that's connected to the ground. Says the Ktsayis HaChoshen, even though in many situations the halacha is that something that's connected to the ground is considered, something on the ground is considered like connected to the ground, the Rabbanan hold for these cases, like we're learning, it's not considered connected to the ground. So the Gemara is teaching us that we who started, as we mentioned at the beginning of our shiur, that spoke about a pipe, whether the pipe was formed before it was connected to the ground or was formed after the connected to the ground, is not consistent with either of these opinions. According to Rabbi Elazar, the beehive is always considered connected to the ground. And when Rabbi Elazar says it's always considered connected to the ground, he didn't differentiate if I made the beehive before it was connected or I made the beehive after it was connected. According to Rabbanon, it's never considered like it's part of the karka. And again, the Rabbanon did not differentiate whether it was made before or after. Says the Gemara, this halacha, this mishnah, has nothing to do with what we're speaking about, because hosom, when we speak about the kaveris, is kedama Rabbi Elazar tama. It's as Rabbi Elazar explained. As Rabbi Elazar explained, my tama Rabbi Elazar. What is the basis for Rabbi Elazar that considered mechubel karka? The ksiv, the pasuk discusses when Klal Yisrael went to Melchama with the Plishtim, and Shaul made them make a shvua that no one is allowed to eat anything until the evening, when the war will be over. And everybody followed the shvua that they made with shvua. And even though they came to the forest, where there was honey on the ground, they did not eat from that honey. Yonason, the son of Shaul, did not hear the shvua that was made. And the pasuk says, V'yishlach etzei hamata shebiyodai, he was carrying a stick, and he stuck that stick into the honey, and v'yoshava apiv, and he put the honey into his mouth. So we see that the dvash is connected to the yar. Of course, the poshup shot in the pasuk is that the dvash was in the yar. The dvash was in the forest. But the Gemara learns, Rabbi Elazar learns, ma yar hatol shemena b'shabes chayv chatas. If somebody uproots something growing in a forest, he's chayv chatas. Af dvash haroid memena b'shabes chayv chatas. So we see that the dvash is always considered something mechubel karka, and it doesn't make a difference when the kaveris. It doesn't make a difference when the kaveris was put there or when the kaveris was not put there. It's always considered, based on this pasuk, connected to the ground. There's an interesting discussion amongst the poskim. What is the dvash that we are speaking about? Rashi actually learns that the dvash that's being discussed here is not honey, as we've been discussing, but rather it's speaking about sugar cane. The Radak says it's talking about honey. And the Karen Oira uses our Gemara to be a proof that the dvash that's being spoken about in that pasuk is speaking about honey, and the halachas that we've been speaking about honey as related in our shir is all honey, not sugar. And the Shaila Meshev actually asks, how will we understand Rashi based on our Gemara? So he says that the sugar cane is also considered the, like something connected to the ground. Of course, the difficulty with this is there's no hive, there's no beehive when we speak about honey. And the question really is, moreover, the Shaila Meshev and other Paiskim say that we know the bracha of on sugar is a shahakal. But if our Gemara is considering that achalti yari im divshi, that the dvash that's being discussed here is considered mechubal akarka, then the bracha, and Rashi in Nach says that what we're speaking about is sugar, then the bracha on sugar ought not to be shahakal. The bracha on sugar ought to be hoetz. And there are those that want to suggest that maybe the bracha on sugar is hoetz, but we know that the halacha really is that it's considered shahakal. So again, we're back to where we started. The Gemara had said that this halacha that we're discussing about sugar, about the pipe with the mikveh, is inconsistent with Rabbi Eleza and the Rabbanon. Where do we find that? It says the Gemara Rabbi Eleza the Daf. They used to have a board that was made by bakers that I saw two pshatim what the board was used for. One pshat that I saw is that the board was used to put the baked goods as they put onto the oven, they're put into a, on a board, similar to what we would call a baking pan. Another pshat that I saw is that the board was used for display. They would display the bread or the baked goods on a board, and that's the board that we're speaking about, the Daf Shal Nachtoimim, this board. It says the Gemara, Ela Rabbi Eleza, the Daf, because the Mishnah Masech the Kalim, Perek Tezvav Mishnah Beis, tells us Daf Shal Nachtoimim, this board, Shekava B'Kaisel, that we put it on the wall. Rabbi Eleza Matar, Rabbi Eleza says it's not Mekabel Tumah, because since it's used, it's attached to the wall, so it has a din like karka. And anything that's karka is not makabel tumah. The chamim mitamim, and they hold that it is makabel tumah because the fact that it's independently used and it's not part of the karka doesn't make it be considered like karka. So ask the Gemara again, if we're going to want to say that Rabbi Eleazar agrees with the halacha that the brisa that we're discussing teaches us, Rabbi Eleazar, then the halacha should differentiate afil chok koil psoiv kavoy, v'rabban afil kavol psoiv chok koinami. So why doesn't the brisa focus on when it was formed? The fact that the brisa is not focused on that at all suggests the Gemara that this brisa is not consistent with that brisa. The Stipler quotes Rabbi Chanan Vassman, who says that how could the daf that was now indeed hung up on the wall not be mekabel tumah? He says that the halacha is that we often know, teach, is that something that is mekabel tumah only loses the ability to mekabel tumah not just by attaching it to the ground, but we have to actually change it. We have to break it. We have to reform it. Here it's the same daf, and all that we're doing is hanging it up on the wall. So how could that be sufficient that it should not be makabel tumah? So one teretz, he suggests, is that once we connect it to the ground, so it becomes karka. When is the halacha that a keli is no longer makabel tumah? He says the halacha that a keli is not makabel tumah is only in a situation where the keli is, do we still consider it the original keli? Is it not the keli? So there it has to be broken. Here, when the reason it's not mekabel tumah is because it becomes karka. Karka is never mekabel tumah. Another pshat that he suggests, something that was intended from the beginning to be considered karka. And apparently it was very common that they would hang up the board on the wall. So therefore, since it was common that that's the way it should be treated, so the halacha is that's why it's considered karka, even though there was no physical change to it. Says the Gemara, Lailan Rabbi Elazar. Really, we could say that our Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. And therefore, if we made the pipe into a pipe, and only after we made it into a pipe did we put it on the ground, the halacha is that it's not, the halacha is the water that passes through will be not qualified for the mikveh. So if that's the case, why don't we say the same distinction there by the wood board? Shani Pshuti Kleyetz, says the Gemara, Pshuti Kleyetz, the whole Kabbalah's Tumah of Pshuti Kleyetz is only a Tumah Drabonim. So since it's a flat board, and the flat board is never Mekabel Tumah Medaraisa, because the only time something which is made out of wood is Mekabel Tumah, it's only in a case where it's a wood keli with a receptacle. This is not a wood keli with a receptacle, so therefore the tumah is not a tumah deraisa. And therefore Rabbi Elazar says that this by this tumah, it's enough that I hang it up on the wall, as we just finished saying, that once I hang it up on the wall, it's considered karka, it's not mekabel tumah, because the tumah that we began with is only a tumah derabanan. The Noida Behuda asks that the Mishnah Masechta Kelim that speaks about metal doors, hinges, or locks are not mekabel tumah because they're not individual kelim, they're not utensils on their own right. They only function as part of the karka, so they're considered karka. And the Rambam says that anything that's made to serve as part of a house are considered karka even when they're manufactured to be part of a keli. Ask the Noida Behuda, if that's the case, why is a baker's board ever mekabel tumah? The Gemara said that the Rabbanan hold it is mekabel tumah. And the question is, why is it mekabel tumah? The Noida Behuda says that it should not be mekabel tumah because it was meant to be part of the karka. Says the Nabi Yehuda that a board that was whose manufacture was not completed until after it was attached to the karka should be like a lock. Answers the Nabi Yehuda that a lock and a board are not the same. A lock is classified as karka because it has no other function but to serve as part of the house. A board, even though, as we've been learning, was this board that we're speaking about was meant to be put on the wall, but it has a use. It can be used when it's not on the wall. And therefore, you can't compare something which is only usable when it's connected to some mechubel karka, like the lock, like the hinge, versus something that is usable when it's not mechubel karka. Before we eat, before we use clay suda, utensils that are used for cooking and for eating, they have to be put into the mikveh. And one of the big questions that the Paiskim discuss is that many of these electric types of kelim, a toaster oven or a coffee machine, if you put them into the mikveh, they're very easily to get ruined. But on the other hand, the halacha requires them to be taken to the mikveh. So the Chalkas Yaakov wants to suggest, and other Paiskim suggest this, that these kalim, these electric appliances, are only used when they're mechubel karka. They can only be used when they're plugged in. And since they can only be used when they're plugged in, maybe that should make them be considered like the lock and the hinge that we're discussing, suggests the Chalkas Yaakov. And therefore, the halacha should be that they don't have to feel as kalim, because as we've been learning, anything that's mechubel karka doesn't become tameh. But the Chalkas Yaakov rejects that argument.
The Chalkas Yaakov says that when do we say that something which is mechubal karka has a din like karka and is not mekabel tuma is as we just learned. It's only in a case where it's not usable, only when it's on the karka, the lock, the hinge, only have a purpose to be used when they're connected to the karka. However, says the Chalkas Yaakov, a coffee urn can be used to hold coffee. It's not what it's meant for. And therefore, it's like the board in our Gemara. And just like our Gemara, certainly the Chachamim and even Rabbi Lezer say that board is Mekabel Tuma, so too here will be Mekabel Tuma. So the Gemara said the reason the case of the board is not the same as the case of the pipe, because the board is only Mekabel Tuma Derabbanan, it's Pshutei Kliyeitz, whereas this is Mekabel Tuma because that the case by the mikveh, we're speaking about a din d'oraisa. As the Gemara, is that true? Bechlal, does that mean that shiva d'oraisa, the mayim shuvim that disqualify mikveh is issa d'oraisa? For Kaimelon, ask the Gemara that the halacha mayim shuvim that fell into the mikveh, that fall into the mikveh, are only asum d'rabbanan. And again, as we've been discussing, of course, if we have less than 40 saw, which is the minimum amount you need to have for a mikveh, if you have less than 40 saw and mayim shuvim fall into that pool of water, it disqualifies the mikveh. But if you have, but we're not speaking about that case. We're speaking about a case where we have a kosher mikveh and water, mayim shuvim fell in, and then we spoke in the previous year, Nosan Sov and Notal Sov. If you put in a Sov Mayim Shuvim and remove a Sov of the mikveh water, and we had a discussion in that shir, if you take out the Roiv, then it's Posel. So, says the Gemara, here we're speaking about a case where it's only Posel Midrabanan, if you did that. And why, therefore, are we saying that the Daf, with the Pshutei Kliyeitz is only Tumah Derabbanan, but here we're speaking about a Deraisa. There are many opinions in the Rishonim how to learn this line of the Gemara. The Rashbam says that the halacha that Mayim Shuvim is Posel is only when you have a mikveh which is all Shov, only has Mayim Shuvim. And therefore, it's understandable why our Gemara is not speaking about a mikveh which is called Kula Shov. According to the Rashbam, the Pshat in the Gemara is, our Mishnah, our Bryce was speaking about the Mayim Shuvim were brought into a mikveh that has already kosher water. And Kula Shov is only if it's Kula Shov. Other Rishonim say that even if it's Kula Shov, it's only Posel Midrabonim, which is a big chiddush. The Ravid says that the case that we're speaking about here is like we learned, when it's Notal Saw and Nosan Saw. There, the disqualification of the mikveh is only Midrabanan. Any other situation is would Shav, could even according to the Gemara at this point, maybe be Osama Deraisa. Void, says the Gemara, we're saying that the reason by the Daf, the board that was attached, it's different, because we said that the Daf was made out of wood, and therefore it's Pshutei Kliyeitz, and since it's Pshutei Kliyeitz are Namakabal Tuma Midaraisa. But ask the Gemara, Ham Rabbi Yosef Chanina, that case that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Lezer are discussing is Bedav Shamatchis. It's Machloikis. The Machloikis Rabbi Lezer Chanina is on a metal board. By metal board, there is no concept of Pshutei Kliyeitz. Answers the Gemara, what we have to say, Loilam, we could say that the opinion that we spoke about about the mikveh with the pipe follows the opinion of the Rabbanan. And Shani Shiva the Rabbanan, since the entire Isra of Shiva, and so now the question is, why by the Daf is there no differentiation when it was formed into the Daf? And by the pipe there is, because Shiva is only the Rabbanan, and therefore we're lenient. Ask the Gemara, if that's the reason that
Mikra Hadin, there shouldn't be a difference between if you made the pipe before or after, because it's only always osam d'rabbanan. I feel a chakkai obsoif kavei nami. The halacha ought to be that under all circumstances, since it's only osam d'rabbanan, we should be lenient when the water came into the mikveh through that pipe. Answers the Gemara: Shani hasam dikatars kalei avitalish. Since when it was this, if it was a pipe, and it was already a pipe before it was connected, so people are going to say that even if the water passes through such a pipe, the mikveh is a kosher mikveh. What's going to happen is that people are going to disregard the entire halacha of shuvim. There is a halacha of shuvim, as we learn in our shiurim, and since there's a halacha of shuvim, as we learn in our shiurim, Chazal had to give it a strength. And therefore, even though it's the Issa d'Rabbanon, the halacha is that if it's in, that we're machmer, and if it was not connected to the ground, everybody would agree that water that's not connected to the ground is possible to be used for, that was coming out from Mayim Shuvim, disqualifies a mikveh. Because if it was made into a pipe and then connected to the ground, it looks so similar to a real keli, so Chazal had to treat them both the same way. So this is a very important discussion when we speak about a mikveh. What's the halacha about a mikveh that's mayim shuvim? One question that the Pesukim discuss, of course, is can you use a swimming pool as a mikveh? And based on our Gemara, it would really make a very big difference how the swimming pool was constructed. If it was constructed that you had it and then you put it on the ground, so then you may have a very big problem, because then it looks like Mayim Shuvim. But if you dug a hole in the ground and made a pool, then the halacha should be that it's a kosher mikveh. The Noid Behuda is machmer, and even though there's room to be makel, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, when women have to go to the mikveh, it's a question of a woman being a nida, and that's why we have to be, which is a sakaris, the aloch is that therefore we have to be very machmer when we speak about hilchas mikveh and disqualify for a woman that needs to go to the mikveh any swimming pool. The Torah Kedoshah says, regarding Kabbalah's Tumah, the Torah says, and from here we learn our halacha, which is often discussed in Shas, that food is not susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah, to become Tumah, unless it becomes wet first. But the Pasuk that discusses this halacha says, V'chiyite mayim al zera, v'nofam nevlosam olav tamei ulcham. So we know that there are no akudas in the Chumash, in the Sefer Torah. So there's a question how to read the word. Do we read it yitain, which means that you deliberately made the food wet? And if it wasn't deliberately made wet, that food will not be susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah? Or do we read the word yutan, as long as we got wet? And the Gemara often discusses that yitain, dumya the yutan, dumya the yitain. You don't have to make it wet deliberately, but you have to be satisfied that it should get wet. And included in the halacha that you're satisfied that it should get wet means that it has to be that you're satisfied that it got wet, even if the food wasn't the thing that got wet. There was something that was there that you wanted to get wet, and that water, and it's not only water, there's other liquids, yayin, shemen, davash, dam, that make it mukshel kabbalah tumah, fell on something, and then it fell on the food, that's also considered satisfactory. However, if what got wet was something that was mechubal karka, even though you wanted that thing that's mechubal karka to get wet, but since it's mechubal karka, and we keep on learning in our shir that something that's mechubal karka is not considered karka, is not considered, cannot be kabbal tumah,
So even though you wanted to get wet and then it fell on the food, that food would not be considered mukshel kabel tuma. Based on this introduction, ask the Gemara by Rabbi Yosef, may geshamim, if we have rainwater, shechoshev aleim ladich es estrabulim, there's a wood base that they used to put the mill on top of it. So now the question is, you wanted that wood base to get wet because you wanted to wash it. You wanted the rainwater to wash it. And now from that, it fell onto food. Do we say that that strabun is considered something which is not mechubal karka, and therefore this will be a case of hechsher kabbalas tuma, that the food that got wet from that will be kabbal tuma? Or do we say that this astrabulin that we just discussed is not considered mechubal karka? If it's not considered mechubal karka, so then when I wanted that this astrabulin should get wet, when I wanted that this astrabulin should get wet, it means I wanted something which is not mechubal karka to get wet, and then after, if that water now falls on the food will be properly mukshel kabel tuma. Says the Gemara. Alivid Rabbi Lezer, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Lezer that we learned in the previous year, in the Afsama Chayom Beis, that says that if you have a grinder that was formed and afterwards was attached to the ground, it's included in when I sell the house, it's considered part of the house, because he says, kol ha-mechubal karka reka karka, anything attached to the house is considered like karka, like the bailach. It'll be a perfect example of something that got wet, but what got wet was something that was mechubal karka. Tita bailach, when do we have a question? I'll leave it to Rabbanan. That the Rabbanan said that the machteshes that was formed into being a machteshes and then connected to the ground is not considered karka. Mai, what would be the halacha? Will we be considered like something that was mechubal karka, got wet? And the Gemara's question is, do the halachas of what's considered mechubar in the house, the same halachas, if it's considered part of the house or not, travel together with the halacha of hukshel kabel tuma? Because as Rabbanan teaches, the reason a machteshes, even though it's part of the house, is not considered part of the house, as we learned in our previous year, because the Rabbanan hold that moicher bein ra'am moicher, that somebody who sells something, intention is not to be generous. Since his intention is not to be generous, that's why it's considered a unique situation. But the halacha that we're speaking about in our shir, which is a halacha that's connected to Hilchas Kabbalas Tuma, is a whole different subject. And since it's a whole different subject, we can't connect these two questions, and the Gemara remains with a tekel. The Gemara teaches us in Masechet Ksubos, Daf Samaches of Amud Aleph, that if a father has sons, Midaraisa, his daughter, don't get any Yerusha. But Chazal instituted that a daughter should get what's known as Iser in the Chosim, that a father should give the father is not here and the daughter has to get married, 10% of the estate should be given to the daughter. But the Gemara there teaches us that she's only entitled to that from Karka. There is a big machlokes Rishonim. What does that mean, she's only entitled from Karka? Some Rishonim learned the Gemara very simply, that this Issa Nechasim, or the Gemara over there calls it Panosas Habas, she's only entitled to get the Panosas Habas from real estate, not from Taltun. However, there are other Rishonim that say, and not only that she's only entitled to get it from Karka, but when we are evaluating and assessing the assets of the father, the only thing we look at is Karka. And if the father left over Metaltlin, not only are they not used for paying the obligation, but it's even more than that. They're not even counted towards the amount of assets the father left. There are other Rishonim that disagree. And they say that, yes, the only place from where she could collect what she's entitled to is from Karka, but when we're trying to assess what was the father's worth, then we include, in that assessment, we include entitlement. But no matter what, knowing what Karka is for that halacha is critical. So says the Gemara, Shalach Rav Nechemya, Bereid Rav Yosel, Rabbi Bereid Rav Huna, Zuti Lador. When this woman will come see you, Agva is in the chassi, and she wants to collect the 10% that she is entitled to, give it to her. Give it to her from the base of the mill that we've been discussing, because it's considered karka. Omer Rav Ashi, Kavina Rav Kahana, says the Gemara that Rav Ashi said that when the Bezdin, the yeshiva of Kahana, and this type of a question came up, and the question was, what should we or what should we not give the woman, the girl from her Parnassus Abbas, Magvina Afil Ma'amu Debati. She's entitled to collect it even from rent. So Tosfos discusses what is meant with the rent. If the brothers rented out the house and they already collected the rent and now they have that cash on hand, so that's certainly not considered karka. The karka, that's considered metatlin, it's cash. And says Tosfos, if we're going to say what he meant to say was that a girl could collect her share by us renting out the home, which is karka, and collecting the rent as what she's entitled to, of course, she could rent out the house, she could sell the house to get what she's entitled to. So Tosfos says that we're speaking about a case where the father had rented out the home for a year, and he died in the middle of the year, and the daughter is now coming to collect Parnassus Abbas after part of the time of the rental had passed. And what the Gemara is teaching us, that certainly any rent that is earned after the father died, she's entitled to. Even money that was already accrued, it wasn't just paid, but the obligation was there from before, the halacha will be considered that she's allowed to take that money. And of course, it's a very difficult psak, because that money was already owed, money that was owed. If that's money that was already owed, the question is obvious. Since it's money that's already owed, why should that be considered? Why should that be considered money that? Why should that not be considered metatlin? And the answer is, because often we discuss in Shas, when there's a rental situation, when does the obligation for the rental payment come? Does it come as the term of the rental goes on, or is it only at the end of the year? And the Gemara paskins in many places, Schiris Eina Mishtalemes El Psoif. The rent is only due at the end of the year. So even though, let's say the example that we just gave, 6 months of the year have passed when the father passed away, the money that's owed to this girl, the money that's owed for this property is not yet owed, because it's not owed till the end of the year. And at that point, the girl was already entitled to the Parnassus Abbas. And that's why the Gemara is teaching us that that will be money she could have rights to collect her Parnassus Abbas.